Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Okay, during the week we heard the news that live music venue The Kino in Cork made the decision to close on a permanent basis, that is. This is the first and hopefully the last of the music venue casualties that we'll have, and as a result of the pandemic, obviously. But it's not been an easy road for the likes of Dolan's in Limerick, Roisin Dubh in Galway, many others around the country. So following on from chatting with Phil Selway on the programme last week, he of Radiohead fame, about a documentary featuring independent venues and crew in the UK, today we're chatting with Una Malloy of Turning Pirate Bookings and the chairperson of the Live Venue Collective, which is helping to keep venues, artists, tech, crew, the lot, afloat during the current crisis. Una, welcome to the programme. Very good. Una, what is the Live Venue Collective and why was it set up?
Thanks, Dave. It's the Live Venue Collective is, at the moment, we are 28 venues that kind of go from Kerry to Dundalk or Wexford to Galway, fully kind of regionally spread across the country. And they were set up really because they are such a hugely vital part of our ecosystem, of our music industry ecosystem, from an artist point of view, from an audience point of view, from a crew point of view, just incredibly important. And they have been closed since March. So we all kind of had to get together and figure out how to manage. And we, since then, we've just been supporting each other, applying for funding and lobbying the government to continue the supports that we need to keep the doors open.
Okay, just putting them into some kind of perspective, they're not just, you know, this, that and the other. They're huge things, proving ground for musicians and comedians and everybody else, aren't they?
Exactly. Like, you can't go from your bedroom playing the guitar to playing the Olympia or the Three Arena. So they are a proving ground. They are where people build their audience, hone their craft and prepare for bigger stages. They're also where a lot of artists from Christy Moore to Ed Sheeran to David Gray will end up coming back to play, because they have decades worth of energy and gigs, and there are a lot of them are family run businesses. Some of them, the bars and the likes, have been handed down from generations, and they're full of people who are just passionate about keeping the industry alive. And as well as that, they're a proving ground for our crews, you know, our technical crew, lighting engineers and sound engineers. And again, it's people with mortgages and families who haven't worked since March. So it's just a hugely important part of our industry, you know.
Yeah, and their social outlets, community focal points, crucial roles in the local economy, employers, tourism destinations, revenue generators for, you know, I don't know, cafes, restaurants, hotels, shops, the works. So what are you looking at here, Live Venue Collective? Are there points, like, you just want to bring Irish music independent venues together to support each other? Because it's these.
Well, so what we did was we got together during the summer of last year in a desperate state, and we very shortly after that the Live Performance Support Scheme was announced, which was a pilot scheme that the Department of Culture ran, where they made funding, about 5 million funding available to small promoters and producers to create events, because obviously events, the income for events is what pays for them. So ticket income was gone and we had a lot of empty venues. So we were lobbying the government to be allowed to create shows that were able to run despite the fact that we were either selling no tickets or a very limited number of socially distant tickets. So with that, we applied as a group, 23 of us applied as a group, and we were given 1.1 million to put together, each of the 23 put together 16 performances throughout December, which was just a lifeline, but it was a brief and fleeting moment that kept us going. It got us to the end of 2020 with the doors open. Sadly, not so for the Kino. It wasn't enough to keep them going. But
yeah. If you think about it, like, just in terms of examples, that might be so that people will suddenly, like, know definitely what we're talking about here. Like, we're talking about comedians, we're talking about bands, we're talking Galway, Roisin Dubh, Cabins and Leash, Mike the Pies, Kerry, Lost Lane, Dublin, Lantern and Wexford, Kino, Cork is now gone, Grand Social Dublin, Dolan's, Limerick, DeBarra's, Clonakilty, Crane Lane, Cork, Cocklands, Cork, Connolly's of Leppe, of course, Clears in Kilkenny, Blackgate, Galway, you know, Set Theatre, Kilkenny, there's the Spirit Store, the Barn in Clare, the White Horse, the Workman's Club, Sky on the Ground, Sinead, everybody knows them right now. I've been across those list if you follow kind of live music, etc. Now, while I was chatting with Phil of Radiohead last week, one of the venue owners in his documentary said, "I just think for the health and sanity of future generations, you need stuff like this, or else everyone will go insane with blandness if it carries on." Do you share the same sentiments?
Of course. I mean, you know, the creativity and the uniqueness that you're afforded, you know, like if you think of a gig in a bigger space, you know, the cost of bringing in a PA and lights and all that. So you're talking about businesses that have invested in a stage and a space and lights and a, you know, that have a sound engineer and have a light. So all of those things that you would ordinarily, once you get to a bigger, you're in a bigger place, you have to start paying for all those things. These venues have invested in these spaces that mean that you can go in and play for 30 people when you're starting your career on a Tuesday night. And you can sell 30 tickets for a fiver and be able to hone your craft. And it just gives people the freedom of creativity to start something. And a lot of the time it goes on to tour the world, you know, but without that, you're only able to put on shows that are commercially viable, you know. So
yeah.
Whereas the ecosystem of the live, of the small to medium sized venues allow us to try things out and experiment and create different things.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it like, I'll steal a quote from Dan Hansard. These are the rooms where we learn to tell stories and learn the magic of the intimate spaces. Only from there can we take it to a bigger stage with any confidence. Listen, 2 months ago, some support came from Minister Catherine Martin and her department. So an outline again, just a pilot live performance support scheme. Exactly what it is and what people can do about it.
Well, so it happened in December, the pilot scheme, but what happened last year was that there was 50 million that was announced in the budget for the live and entertainment sector. And what we need is for the venues to be able to continue to get support from that scheme. At the moment, we're waiting to hear still about when it's going to be announced and how people can apply for it and if we're going to get funding. So it's imperative for us that funding is still continued, as well as the likes of the PUP and the EWS. Like, these are all things that, in order for us to retain the very skilled workforce that we've built up over decades, that, you know, these supports have to exist in order for the venues to exist and in order for our sector to exist. Otherwise, there'd be nobody there to turn the lights back on when we all want to go back gigging and going to festivals and whatnot. So,
right, but it did help big time, did it? Like, did it allow you to do what you needed to do and realise, God, we've been missing it for a few months? And is it a question of maybe missing it again? You know, in an incredibly short run-up time, you organised and curated and booked and promoted and presented a body of work, very high standard, professional safety, and you realise we need to continue to do this. Do you need this again? Do you need this continued support?
It just about got us, you know, we got our agreements and our funding at the start of December, and the gigs had to be done by the end of December. So
yeah.
We're in a position now where we're facing into a kind of oblique 2021, and without continued support, and across, you know, the same as the EWS and the PUP is a small part of retaining staff and whatnot, but these supports are more about, as well as, you know, retaining staff and keeping us going, it's about the mental health of just being out and busy and creating events and being afforded the opportunity to work. You know, it's all very well to be given money to stay at home and stay safe, but, you know, that when it's very important to everybody within our industry that...
Right, and I mean, like, that kind of money is not to be sniffed at. It was great to get, etc. But we're talking about 23 venues, 405 live shows hosted, and about 700 artists hired, and like nearly 1,000 live audience members, and lots of these kind of details. There's loads of 400,000 online audience members too, which isn't the same thing, by the way, obviously. But anyway, it was good news for the sector towards the tail end of last year. So now, what's the actual reality of where we are now on the, what date is today? The 8th of February? Is the 7th of February? I don't know.
The 6th of February. The reality is that it's okay. The days are melting with each other. But
do you find that? Do you? I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, obviously enough. But cheapers, the time seems to go, like, it seems to be Saturday every day of the week or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway.
You know, the fact is we're nearly, it's the 6th of February, which means it's been almost a year since we've been shut. And we also, I think, as a group, we've sort of proved that with whatever amount of money that we're very genuine in terms of how our endeavours and our ability to be able to connect to the local artists and local crew and how we spend money. So what we really need is for the government and the department to, you know, decide what they're going to do with that 50 million, decide that we a large portion of it is going to go to a continued and expanded version of the LPSS, right. And then we just need for the PUP and the EWS and the CRSS to all keep. You know, there's a lot of people even outside the venues, you know, that are small PA suppliers and that have warehouses and huge amounts of money going out for insurance and warehouses and rent and rates that are in, you know, the same position as us. So it's just about focusing on the fact that the entertainment sector is a huge part of our economy.
All right, well, we wish you the very best of luck with it all, Una. So thanks a million for talking to us. It's Una Malloy of Turning Pirate Bookings and chairperson of the Live Venue Collective. Thanks a million, Una. And
thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Fingers crossed that 2021 will be as good, if that's the right word for it, as December 2020 was, and just in terms of the money that's needed. Thanks, Una. Good luck.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Dave Fanning, Weekend on 2FM.